Hello. Recently, I read a quote that said, "On Judgment Day, you'll wonder, many will wonder, why they got so excited about money instead of Jesus. Many will wonder why they got so excited about money instead of Jesus. Jesus is the wealth of the individual and of the nations and of the world. In fact, He made all that is, and He sustains all of life. He told Abraham that He was His exceeding great reward." Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus in Revelation, I believe it's 22:12, tells us that His reward is with Him. Amen? He is our reward. And if we're with Him, He owns all. So we have it all at our disposal. That is, we will in eternity. Hallelujah. And when we need it now, I believe that if we pray, God will deliver. Amen. The scripture says in 1 Chronicles 29:14, "All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Amen. One more time. 1 Chronicles 29:14, "All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." See, our worship to God involves giving back to Him what He has given to us. Amen. Now, many of us live in the pride of life. You see, we've been born and raised in a fallen world and with a fallen nature ourselves. But now we're born again. We're new creatures. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And look back upon maybe our education or how we labored for years to become whatever we are and to make money. And realize that God allowed that, you see. In fact, we don't even exist without God. And give Him thanks and the glory due to His name, and cease from the pride of life that tells us that fosters that evil pride and leads us to believe that these things came of our own hand and of ourselves. And yes, they involved us, but ultimately, we don't even deserve to be alive, friend. We certainly don't deserve to have an ounce of the grace of God. We merit only the judgment of God, right? I like Genesis chapter 32, verse 10, which says, this is Jacob, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." Amen. He said he was not worthy of any bit of the mercy that God had given, and all the mercy God had given him. Titus 3, verse 5 and 6, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, let me ask you, friend, a question. Who in the Bible, who in God's Word went to hell for not simply chipping off a smidgen of supply to a beggar? Does that ring a bell? Who went to hell? A man that had many riches in this fleeting life, that is, and yet wouldn't lift a finger to help a beggar that sat right under his nose. What Bible story is this contained in, is what I'm asking you. Who is this man? Well, we don't know his name, but we know he was a certain rich man, quote unquote, Jesus said, in the 19th verse of Luke 16. I want you to read that chapter, especially beginning in verse 19, Luke 16:19. I want you to become very familiar with the contents of this passage, which holds a lot of truth about eternity and hell and riches and this life and stewardship, etc. It's a wealth of information there. And so I hope in your biblical knowledge this rang a bell. I hope that you're learning the Word of God, learning where it is and what it says, and that you're studying diligently the Word of God every day, my friend. This should be a very familiar passage to all of us, Luke 16, 19 through 31. You will find yourself referring to it on a daily basis. And I want to ask you something. If you know this story of a certain rich man, this is not a parable, my friend. Jesus told us that this certain rich man fared sumptuously every day, and he was an ungodly man, we deduce, by the fact that he went to hell when he died. Lazarus was a man that was a godly man. We know that because when he died, he went to a place of comfort. This was before Jesus died and rose again. So there, no one went to heaven until after Jesus died and rose again from the dead. This particular godly man named Lazarus, he went to a holding place called Abraham's bosom. You'll see that right there in Luke 16, 19 through 31. But the rich man went to eternal torment, and he was tormented in this flame, quote unquote. And by the way, friend, this is at least 2,000 years ago that this man went to hell, this rich man, and he's still being tormented. And in 1 million years of Earth's time, not 1 second will have expired from eternity's time clock. Jesus taught that hell is the punishment of God upon the unjust, the unrepentant, who refuse to take him up on his offer to be saved and do things his way, God's way, and therefore they are vanquished into eternal separation, eternal damnation, where all their faculties and consciousness will be alive forever. I want you to read this also, Mark 9, the end of Mark 9, about the last 10 verses. Okay, if that's easy to remember. Luke 9, beginning in verse 43. So, but what would this rich man that we're talking about here, in that's in hell still, what would that rich man not do now if he had one more breath on earth? One more breath, one more minute, 5 more minutes, whatever. What would he do to change things? He'd probably empty everything he had on the poor. Yet he's been in hell for some 2,000 years because he refused to do that out of an obedient and willing heart while he was on earth, while he had precious opportunity. Now he's incarcerated in the damnation of hell, in hell's jail, if you will. In other words, he can never get out. There is no release date. Hell is for keeps, my friend. It's irrevocable. Once you go there, it's forever. One of the counterfeits to that that I can think of right now is this idea of a purgatory, where you burn off your sins and you suffer for a while and then you graduate into heaven, kind of like a evolution, spiritual evolution in eternity, which is nothing but a fairy tale and a farce. It's utterly a lie. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hell is for keeps, my friend. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 11, I think it's just verse 11 that we need, actually. The Lord says that hell is forever. There is no turning back. There is no second chance. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy. This is communicating the idea, the notion, the biblical, the divine truth, that the unjust on this earth will remain in the place of the unjust in eternity. Those that die filthy will go to the filthy contamination and torment of hell, the abode of the wicked departed souls, the domain of the damned. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, it says. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, those that die righteous, in right standing before God, at the hour of their death, they die holy and righteous before the Lord. Holy meaning set apart to to him that is holy, 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 then they will be with him. And this is just exactly what we see in Luke 16. When we see this man that is rich in this world, this fleeting world, die and go to hell. And we see a man named Lazarus die and go immediately to a place of comfort. Hallelujah, saints. That's exciting, isn't it? Jesus told us that unfaithful servants and stewards go to eternal damnation. That is all over the New Testament, all over his parables. Read chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew. I want you to read 24 and 25 of Matthew, both those chapters. Then you're going to see many parables about servants. That means they were in the kingdom. One of them is the five virgins that went to heaven and the five that went to hell. There were 10. The kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins. They all started out following the bridegroom, but only five made it because only five endured to the end. Now, let me stop here and say that if you still believe in an unconditional eternal security and want somebody is saved genuinely, that they could never lose their salvation, my friend, you are highly deceived. You're extremely deceived. You have not gotten that from the Bible. And these two chapters alone are going to tell you that if you want the truth, and you're going to let the truth trump your trashy tradition. Okay? Jesus said that the Pharisees, and that may be exactly what you are, they allowed their tradition to trump the truth. But the true godly person that's heaven bound will allow God's word to be final authority and the truth of the word of God, no matter what he's been taught in the past and led to believe. The truth of God will be his final authority, and it will trump the tradition, and he will trash the tradition. Amen? All unfaithful stewards, that is, people who get saved and then don't steward their lives and their resources correctly, will spend eternity in hell. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 25, at the end of the parable of the talents, that is, stewardship over the things God gives us in this life. And this is all in the context of those who are in the kingdom of God. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. That's hell. That's one of the descriptions the Bible gives us of hell. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's another description of what's going on in hell. So unprofitable servants will go to outer darkness, to the weeping and gnashing of teeth that's found in hell. And at the end of this same chapter, Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 41, Matthew 25, 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, hell was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. But all men who die like the devil in rebellion against their maker. See, that's why he got kicked out of heaven. Amen? Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12, actually, is one of the places we see that. But he's going to say unto them on his left hand at the judgment, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Somebody might say, well, this is the judgment of the nations. That's saying these same tenets of judgment apply to the individual would be the obvious, simple answer to this applying to us as individuals. Depart from me, you curse, in the everlasting fire. Now, how long is hell? How long will the incarceration of hell last? Well, here it is again. It's everlasting fire. Amen. It's signed, sealed, delivered. Once a person dies, they will be in eternity as they left the earth. If they died righteous, they'll be in heaven. If they died in a wicked state, they'll be in, quote, everlasting fire, unquote. The fire which never shall be quenched, Mark 9, 43 through 49. This is a place prepared for the devil and his angels, because so that's going to be part of the company of those that you will be with if you die in sin, my friend. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. And now he lists their sins right here. This is, my friend, the manifestation of someone who's not abiding in Christ. And Jesus himself said in John 15, if you're not abiding in me, you're going to be thrown into the fire. That means you're going to hell. That's all you got to go to hell is not abide in Christ, not love and worship and obey him. Oh, but brother, you're saying that I have to obey God in order to go to heaven. Well, that's works. No, let me say this, friend. Yeah, you do have to obey him by repenting and putting your trust in him. And when you do, the fruit of your life will be obedience. It will be good fruit. It will not be bad fruit. Are you going to argue with the Son of God? Listen to what he says here. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. In other words, you dealt with, as the saying goes, me and my four no more. In other words, you concerned yourself with yourself, not with God and others. Jesus said, you must love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is a command, not a suggestion. This idea that, well, I'm saved by grace, so I can basically live any way I like. Who told you that? False prophets told you that. False teachers. Jesus never told you that. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you real? Are you real? If you're real, you got the fruit of good works in your life. The Bible talks a lot about good works. And in Revelation 3, it tells us we're going to be judged by our works. You're going to argue with Jesus? That's what he said. Revelation 3, you're going to be judged by your works. Why is that? Well, because the works of your life, the fruit of your life, is a direct reflection of what's really in your heart. What kind of faith? What kind of true trust and repentance? And if you don't have the good works, it's because you don't really trust God. You're living to the glory of self. You've got yourself as your God, not the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not enthroned on the throne of your heart. You're not a worshiper of him. You just want to miss hell because you're full of self. It's all a self-serving motive, you see. You're an idolater, and all idolaters will have their place in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verse 8 and verse 27. Jesus says, for I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. How many people have you known that have gone to jail? Did you visit them? Did you send them money? Did you write them a letter? How many homeless people did you know about that were naked, yet you did not help them to be clothed? Oh, you had all the wherewithal to go buy yourself more shoes, clothes, and get your nails done and your hair done and buy the new car. I mean, after all, the one we have is 4 years old or 8 years old, God forbid. I mean, come on. We have to have a new car. So you allowed yourself to be seduced by your own unrepentant lust for somebody to sell you a bigger, newer, faster, cleaner, prettier car, but yet you couldn't bring a shirt out of your own closet, or that you got from a thrift store, to a man that's living under a bridge. My God, folks, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. This sham that we call Christianity in America is going straight to hell. Straight to hell. To everlasting fire, because we don't care about anybody but ourselves. We are Laodicea. And we are lukewarm, hellbound, unless we repent. It's your choice. Verse 44. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, and a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, my least of these, you did it not to me. The way you treat others, my friend, is the way you're treating Jesus. He said to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you do, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. Do you have that scripture memorized? Is that at the core of your being as far as something you are striving to live out, to love the Lord today? today and every day. Today, though, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Are you participating in those who do prison ministry, visiting those in prison with books, with things that are being mailed to them, with money to help them buy food? Are you participating with New Testament ministries that help clothe the naked and feed the poor and get the gospel to the people? Are you or are you not? We both know you have precious opportunity right now to do it, like the rich man in Luke 16 and like these people we're reading about in Matthew 25. They didn't take that opportunity. They were too busy serving the God of self, and therefore they're in hell now and forever will be. Will you follow them, or will you follow Christ who came and gave all? Will you follow the many through the centuries, wayfaring, God-fearing men and women who did not entrench themselves in this fleeting, sinful, fallen world and act like this is where they're going to be forever, but rather live the minimalistic life so that they could have and use every resource to do God's will? Is that who you will follow? I hope so, my friend. Jesus taught that we should lay up treasure in heaven. Yes, we should lay up treasure, he said. He instructed and commanded us to. But he said that should be in heaven, not on earth. Matthew chapter 6, after he tells us how intricately God will take care of, taking care of us with the necessities of life, which is food and raiment and water, sustenance. He didn't say that a 4,000 square foot home and a $40,000 car is essential. Okay, that ought to speak for itself by the truth of God, by the governing truth, by the truth that governs, should govern the way of God and does govern the way godly people live. Now, friend, you may say, well, wait a minute, brother, I'm godly. I go to church. Well, that's just it. Going to church is never said to be something that's godly. Oh, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Okay, so you wait till Sunday to go to church? That's not what the New Testament believers did. They couldn't get enough of Jesus. They met every day. In other words, I'm trying to help you put your life to the litmus test to see if you're real, my friend. Are you real? Are you an authentic biblical disciple? Are you a New Testament disciple? Well, yeah, according to my pastor, I am. Well, your pastor's probably going to hell. Okay? I think most of them are. The Bible says there are many false prophets that will be among us in the last days. Not many true. Never uses the term many true prophets. Yet numerous times we're warned against false teachers, false apostles, false prophets. So you're going to follow your pastor to hell because he's painting this picture to you that if you just play into his little, the building of his little empire on this earth by coming to his church meetings on Sunday morning and participating in some of the little activities that you're going to go to heaven, that you're a member of heaven in right standing, you better start reading your Bible, friend. That's your problem. You've gotten a false message because you didn't go to God's word to get it. You got to go to the source yourself. There's no shortcuts. Get a King James Bible and start studying it diligently and daily every day if you want to go to heaven. Otherwise, you're following a false message and you're on the wide road, wide path that leads to eternal damnation that many enter therein. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. I'm trying to close this message. I'll try to do that with Matthew 6, 19 through 24 as I begin to read here a minute ago. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." In other words, it's temporary. You're wasting your time. Some people boast in their hearts and even out of their mouths about retirement, how they're set for life. Man, if that's what's coming out of your mouth, that's what's in your heart. You're not a true believer. You're not a born-again believer, because born-again believers, our conversation is in heaven. We don't live for this earthly world. We don't mind earthly things. That's the carnal mind, Romans 8. Philippians 3, I want you to read it, verse 18 through 21. Our conversation, our focus, our life, our purpose is all about heaven, not about this fleeting world. We don't mind earthly things. That's what Paul said are those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You're bragging about having retirement money that you've worked your whole life selfishly for. I'm not saying that's all wrong, but is that all you got to look forward to? You better make sure that you're heading for eternal glory, even if you got to empty your coffers that you've worked your whole life to build up in your idolatry. And in order to make sure you're bound for eternal glory, lay not up for yourselves, Jesus said, treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, and Jesus also said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So whatever coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Let me read verse 21 in our passage again of Matthew 6. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, your heart's going to follow where you're putting your treasure. You better be putting it in heaven, my friend. How do I do that? Well, we just read a whole series of things that are consistent with the godly lives. They clothe the poor. They feed the poor. And they clothe the naked. They help those that are in a bad way in life, like those in jail, those suffering. Okay, there are people around you that can't pay their light bill or rent. There are ministries in lack. And there you are scheming to get the bigger car, bigger house, and put more money in the bank and waste more money on important things like $5 Starbucks. I mean, God forbid, we can't live a day without that. I mean, seriously, right? Yeah, $5 times 30 days in a month, $150 a month, and you can't give a tip to God's work of $20. Seriously. And you think that's heaven bound? You draw your own conclusion. That's up to you. I'm going to go with the Bible. God's looking at the whole thing. You want to see where your heart is? Go look at your checkbook. Go look at your bank statement to see where your money goes. Okay? And if everything's going to you, that's because that's who you're serving. You ready to get honest, friend? Go look at your bank statement. Go ahead. Go online and get before the Lord in repentance. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or singly, purely focused on Christ, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, friend, don't you want your body, your spirit, soul, and body, your temple on this earth to be full of the light of Christ? If you do, you got to have your focus on Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And that includes the whole gospel. And what all of what he said, if you're going to take him into your heart, you cannot divorce him from what he said in his gospel. Jesus says that if you're ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation of you also, will the Son of Man be ashamed in the end, in eternity. Mark 8:38. You cannot divorce Jesus, the authentic, real Jesus that we have manifested in the Word of God, the record of the Holy Scriptures, from what he says. So stop listening to the purpose-driven, delusional deceivers and your best life now frauds, and start reading the words of the one you claim to worship. His name is Jesus Christ, friend. And in Job 22, it says, be acquainted with the Lord. It's time to get acquainted with the Lord. It's time to get to really know him. I got a feeling I'm talking to some people that don't really know him, and they're beginning to realize that. And I would count that, my friend, as a gift of God. I want to encourage you to follow his leading and his conviction upon your heart. Lay your life down. Get alone before the Lord and just lay it down. Fall upon the mercy of God afresh in repentance and hand your life over to him. Verse 23, as we finish, but if thine eye be evil, in other words, if you're focused on anything but Christ and doing his will, thy whole body shall be full of light. excuse me. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. In other words, if you're not setting your affection on things above and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, following Him, worshiping Him, then your whole body, your spirit, soul, and body are full of darkness. If therefore, in other words, your sin is unrestrained, your lust, that's why you have a desire to continue to get more and to think that you're going to be happier in this world. Someday when you finally get that evasive, elusive, bigger house, and every time you get that next thing that makes you better looking in this world to the lost or going to hell, you realize you're empty. Your whole body's full of darkness. It didn't satisfy you. And it never will. Doesn't matter how many steps up the rungs you go. Okay, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, Jesus says. In other words, you can't run after the mammon and the riches and the pleasures of this world and also simultaneously follow Christ. It's an ultimatum, friend. You're either going to serve Christ or you're serving self. And when you're serving self, you're running after the god of money and the things that it buys you in this fleeting, sinful, fallen world, this temporal world, which shall not be remembered nor come into mind, the Lord says in Isaiah 65:17. No man, Jesus says as we close, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Notice that if you love the Lord, the Messiah, you will hate mammon. It will not even, it'll come to the place that you're so dead to it, you're so dead to the world, you're so dead to sin, you're doornail dead, crucified with Christ, dead and buried, that you will not even be tempted, if you will. It will have no pull, no allurement, no enticement upon your inner man as long as you stay dead and buried. And I'm quoting from Colossians 3:1-4. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Verse 3, you are dead. I'm telling you, friend, you're dead. Your life is over. It's over for you. But now Christ reigns. Amen. The resurrection and the life. He that raised up, the same Holy Ghost that raised up Jesus from the dead, is going to quicken, make alive, and propel your mortal body. We wrote two books on this subject of the crucified life. One of them is called Raised Up. The other one is called I Die Daily. I highly suggest them. They're on Amazon, Kindle and print format. They're also on safeguardyoursoul.com. You cannot serve God and mammon. Make your choice, friend. Don't play the part of a hypocrite and die thinking you're saved and being one of the many who says, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed in the everlasting fire. I never knew you. Or I know you not whence you are. Luke 13, I don't know you in the state you died in. You died filthy and unrighteous, and you're going to the domain of the damned. You cursed in the everlasting fire. Depart from me. Or, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, those that go to heaven serve the Lord, not themselves. They're servants. They don't run around saying they're apostles, and they don't even call themselves by any title. They just do the function. They just serve. They're the real deal. That's the authentic disciples. There are very few of them. If you find one, cling to them. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening.